All right, people, praise the Lord. What a great testimonies this morning on what God is doing in our lives. And it's good to see all your smiling faces in God's house this morning. For our final hymn, grab our hymnals. Everybody got a hymnal? Praise the Lord. And please stand and open up to hymn 65. Hymn 65 is where it all began, on an old rugged cross. We'll sing all four. And thank God that that cross still has the power to save.
Here, far away, stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. That old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by this world as a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to the Calvary. So
in the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cross, I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then you'll call me someday to my home far away, where His glory forever.
Think about it, church.
So I cherish the old rugged cross.
Seated, church. I thought the choir was done, but they did another chorus. I love it. And as I looked out this morning while we were singing that song, I couldn't help but notice some of your shining faces really worshiping the Lord. Really, and that's what this singing is all about. We're not putting on a show, but we're actually worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. And the words that old rugged cross. One lady said to me, I was on the mission field in Colorado, and she said, "You Baptists have a mighty bloody, bloody religion." I said, "Amen, amen." I said, "It took an old bloody cross to save me, wash my sins away." Yes, indeed, the blood of Calvary saves the soul from sin, and nothing else can. I'm so thankful, church, that we can sing about it. Amen. Well, praise the Lord, we will pick up our hymnals again after the message. But at this time, I'd ask you to grab your Bibles. And this morning, please open up to the book of Acts. The book of Acts will go to chapter 19. And my sermon this morning that the Lord laid on my heart is a question. The question is, why Pentecost? Why? Why was there a day of Pentecost? What's it all about? What's it mean? Because, beloved, I'm here to tell you this morning that way too many of our independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist churches tend to shy away from the preaching in the book of Acts concerning the day of Pentecost and all that occurred. It's a miracle. And I'm so thankful that on Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came down, filled the disciples, and they went everywhere preaching the word. Why Pentecost? Well, look with me here in Acts chapter 19. We're going to see from the Bible this morning if we can't answer the question of why Pentecost. Acts chapter 19. We have an incredible passage here where the Apostle Paul asks a particular question. Look with me here. And we find Paul at Ephesus, and he finds disciples that had already been converted to the Lord, and watch what he says here in Acts chapter 19. We'll stand for the reading of God's holy word. We'll read a couple of verses, we'll pray and preach. Acts 19, verse 1. "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, 'Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?' And they said unto him, 'We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost.'" Beloved, before I pray, let me make a statement. I'm afraid that too many of our Baptist churches could answer the same in verse 2 as these disciples. "We have not so much as heard there is a Holy Ghost." Oh, beloved, how we need Pentecost, how we need the Holy Spirit this morning. I want to preach to you a message I've entitled, "Why Pentecost?" Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for the incredible passage before our eyes, where certain disciples of Jesus Christ did not even know there was a Holy Ghost. Oh God, forgive us, Father, this morning. for having evaded and ignored and actually shied away from the glorious preaching of Pentecost. Lord, how we thank you that it's for the church today. The power of the Holy Spirit. Oh Lord, we just ask you to bless your word this morning and teach us why there was a Pentecost and how it applies to us in our Christian lives today. Well, thank you ahead of time for all you're going to do, Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Please be seated, church. Now, let me begin by making a statement. Beloved, I believe this morning we are living in a time, in a day and age, when God's believing people have become complacent, have become lethargic, have become somewhat lazy concerning the things of God and the Spirit of God. And I believe with all my heart, church, it's going to take a mighty movement of the good old-fashioned power of the Holy Ghost working through us, church, to reach this lost world. We can't do it. We can't do it without our Pentecost. I want to give you a few things concerning why Pentecost this morning. The first one is this. Why Pentecost? Firstly, because the gospel needs to be preached to all nations with Holy Spirit power. Amen? The first reason why there's a Pentecost is because the gospel needs to be preached with Spirit-filled power. Go with me to Luke chapter 24. Hold your place in Acts. When go with me to Luke chapter 24. Lord Jesus Christ is informing his disciples just prior to his glorious ascension into heaven. And he tells them this in Luke 24. Look with me at verse 47. He says, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name amongst all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Jesus said, I am going to empower you to preach the gospel. I am going to fill you with my Holy Spirit. I am going to give you incredible, divine, supernatural power to get the message out, boys and girls. And you are going to succeed in Jesus' name by his Spirit. Notice that. He tells them not to preach to a single soul, verse 49, until you be endued with that glorious power. Jesus told these well-trained apostles to wait, tarry, for the gift to stay in Jerusalem until that day when they received that power from on high, they'd be endued, they'd be filled, they'd be equipped. In Acts chapter 1, flip past John's gospel to Acts chapter 1. Let's see it, folks. In Acts chapter 1, how we need Pentecost today. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, and being assembled together with them, Jesus is in the midst, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait. Sound familiar? For the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Not many days hence, drop down to verse 8. But ye shall receive what? Power! After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. The Greek word there for power is dunamis. Dunamis, which is where we get our English word dynamite. He's saying you'll receive explosive power from me when I give you my Holy Spirit. So why Pentecost? First, because without it, you are lacking the necessary power from on high to be effective in ministry, child of God. And every single one of us has a ministry. I didn't say you're going to be a missionary. I didn't say you're going to be a preacher, a pastor, or evangelist. But you have a ministry. Even if it's only to the immediate people that God has placed in your life, you have a ministry. And you need power to be effective in it. You know, it was a commercial years ago. I think it was for Burger King. And there was an old lady. and she opened up the buns of the hamburger and she said, "Where's the beef? Where's the beef?" Yeah, I'm saying today, where's the power of the Holy Spirit of God? What's happened to us, church? We need that old-fashioned Holy Ghost power to be effective. First of all, why Pentecost? Secondly, why Pentecost? Because it gives power to our witnessing. Here's something we need power for witnessing. Back to Acts chapter 1. Look at verse 8 again. We didn't finish that verse. Jesus said, words in red, "But ye, Christian, shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Notice you have no power without the Holy Ghost. You have no strength whatsoever apart from the Holy Spirit. "And ye shall be what? Witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Jesus said, when I empower you, my disciples, you are going to witness to the ends of planet earth for me and the gospel. Wow! That's some power right there. And don't you know they turned the world upside down? Paul said they reached all nations of the earth in his generation. Why? They had power. They had power for witnessing. You know what you need? Power. You need power to witness. All Christians have the word of God to share. Those apostles had it too. But the word alone was not enough. They needed Holy Spirit-endued power to accompany their witnessing. Beloved, you can tell them till you're blue in the face that Jesus saves and wants to save them. But they're not going to respond to the gospel you give them without the Holy Spirit becoming personally involved. Oh, how we need the power of the Holy Ghost to witness. Did you ever feel like you wanted to witness to somebody, but something held you back? You're in an elevator. You're walking down an aisle. Wherever you are, you're at Walmart. And the Lord taps you on the shoulder and says, "Talk to that person about me." And we kind of, you know, we shy away and we get a little fearful. We get a little timid. You know why? Because we're lacking the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, you know what Paul said? "Be not drunk with wine," we're in his excess, "but be filled with the Spirit." He likens a Spirit-filled man, a woman of God, to a drunken man. You think a drunken man is afraid of anything? He's stupid. He's drunk and he's not afraid of anything. He says, "That's how I want you to be. With my Holy Spirit, you'll have no fear." Oh, how we need that power to witness. We need not just powerful words, but divine power in our witnessing, beloved. Their experience on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 made them to be filled with the power of God to witness and to tell others about Jesus Christ. And they did. Now, folks, I'm not talking about the sign gifts that they had. They had the sign gifts, which are eliminated today because we have the complete canon of Scripture. Sign gifts are not necessary today. We have the Bible. We have something better than sign gifts. You don't speak in tongues. You tell them in English. The Word of God. Now go with me to Acts chapter 8. I want you to see this. When the Holy Ghost came down, filled them with divine power, watch what they did. In Acts chapter 8, verse 1, "And Saul," who would become Paul, "was consenting unto his death," Stephen. "And at the time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen," he's dead, "to his burial, and made great lamentation over him," who was a great man of God. "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and haling men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." Notice in verse 4, they've now got power. They're bold. Why? The Holy Ghost has come upon them. They have the Spirit of God operating through them in their ministries. And you know what they're doing? Verse 4, preaching the word. Preach. They're not speaking in tongues. They're preaching the word. Folks, we got this thing all backwards. What we need the Holy Spirit's power for is to preach the word. The word of God is the power of God unto salvation to all that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I'll never forget the first time I witnessed to someone. You remember the first time you witnessed to someone and told them about your Savior? I'll never forget it as long as I live. It was 1986, and I had just been saved 2 weeks. I didn't know a single verse except John 3:16. And I went to the hospital. My father had never been in the hospital in his life. Well, Dad came down with something. He ended up in the hospital. So I went to visit Dad, and I was talking to my father, and he said, "Bobby, you remember that my old drinking buddy, Dusty?" I said, "Yeah, I remember Dusty." He said, "Well, you're not going to believe this, but he came down with lung cancer. He's upstairs in the solarium dying." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, the poor guy, he's down to like 72 pounds, just a shell of a man. And the cancer had eaten away at his body. He was about to die." And I said, "Okay, Dad, got to fly." And of course, I went out of the hospital room, went straight up the solarium, walked in, and who do I see? Dusty. Could hardly recognize him. All shriveled up, shrunken up. The cancer had just eaten away, and he was ready to die. But he wasn't ready to die because he wasn't saved. So I didn't know how to witness. I didn't know any verses. So what I did is I opened up to John chapter 10, where I got saved. John chapter 10, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Now, folks, I simply opened up to John chapter 10. I had a little pocket New Testament. And I opened it up and I said, "Dusty, I'm Bobby. Do you remember me, Dick's son?" He said, he just shook his head. He couldn't talk. He's full of tubes, you know. And he shook his head, "Yeah." And I said, "I got saved. I became a Christian. I'm going to heaven when I die." And he shook his head, "Yeah." And I said, "Dusty, do you want to go to heaven when you die?" And he shook his head, "Yeah." He knew he was about to take his final breath. So I showed him in John chapter 10 that Jesus wanted him to become one of his sheep. And I said, "All you got to do is call upon Jesus Christ to forgive you of all your sins and give you eternal life." And he will. And I said, "Dusty, if you really want to make heaven your home," he's shaking his head, "Yep." I said, "Just pray the sinner's prayer after me." And I led him in the sinner's prayer. And when I opened my eyes, he had tears flowing down his cheeks. You know what that was? Holy Ghost tears. He got saved. And you know what? The next day, he died and went to heaven. I will never forget that as long as I live, because my witnessing led him to heaven. Folks, your witness has power. We overcome the devil by the word of our testimony. Oh, yeah. I said, "Lord, I want to do this for the rest of my life." What a feeling. But thirdly, why Pentecost? Why Pentecost? Thirdly, because without Pentecost, most of us do not speak boldly and are somewhat timid. Look in Acts chapter 4. Back to Acts chapter 4 again. And look with me in Acts chapter 4 at verse 29. Without the Holy Spirit, we do not speak boldly as we ought. In Acts chapter 4, verse 29, we read, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings." This is Peter and John. "And grant unto thy servants," here's a prayer, "grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with what? Boldness! Woo-hoo! What a prayer John and Peter make here. You know what, folks? When you pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit, you're going to be bold in the name of Jesus Christ. You're not going to be fearful. You'll be ready to charge hell with a squirt gun. When you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you have no fear. They, look at it, says there, they spake the word of God with boldness. They didn't say, "Oh, well, maybe Jesus will save you, you know, Osteen. Oh, yeah, feel good. Yeah. Wishy-washy, syrupy sweet." No, they preached the gospel with power, and people got saved. Whoa, folks, how we need that Holy Ghost power to be bold in the name of Jesus Christ. You know what old Solomon said in Book of Proverbs? He said, the wicked fleeth when no man pursueth, but the righteous is bold as a lion. Wow. You know why the wicked flee when no man pursueth? They're full of fear. They have another spirit. It's a demon spirit. But the righteous, filled with the Holy Ghost, bold as a lion. I love it. Fourthly, why Pentecost? Fourthly, because we need to manifest and demonstrate the gifts of the Spirit that God has given us. I'm not talking about sign gifts. They're out of bounds. Don't listen to Benny Hinn. He's a liar. Oh, by the way, you know Benny Hinn's in the hospital? Why didn't he heal himself? Oh, man, come on. Now, listen, folks. We need the Holy Spirit power of Pentecost to manifest and demonstrate the gifts of God that he has given to us. Go to Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, oh, how we deprive our people of these incredible verses, miraculous supernatural verses. Berger says, Acts 2, verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they, the disciples, were all in with one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It's the Holy Spirit. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. It's the Holy Spirit. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, the shenanigans and the nonsense of the Pentecostal charismatic movement is completely out of the will of God. It's unbiblical, it's undoctrinal. Because these incredible signs were for the day of Pentecost, so that all of those Jews gathered in Jerusalem could hear the gospel and understand it in their own tongue. Okay? You don't need that. You don't need that because we have the complete Bible now. Remember, none of the New Testament was written in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. That was the Old Testament. They needed supernatural power to reach those people, and God granted it. Signs and miracles following. Why? To prove that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, that the gospel might spread. Now, listen to me. God, that was a gift God gave them by the Holy Spirit there. God wants to work mightily in and through you and me in order to accomplish his purpose in the earth through our lives. In Acts chapter 10, don't turn there, Jesus was first anointed with the Holy Ghost and then with power. That's Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 39. Then he went around doing good and healing all those that needed it. Why? Because he was anointed with the Holy Ghost. Folks, listen to me. Every Christian has at least one gift from the Holy Spirit. How do you know that, Pastor? Oh, let me show you. Go with me quickly to the book of Ephesians. I want you to see this. We all have gifts from God, and he wants to use them through you. Watch. In Ephesians chapter 4. Don't miss this. Ephesians chapter 4. How many of you believe Jesus Christ rose from the dead? Everybody's hand is up. We all believe that, right? Well, what did he do when he rose from the dead? We know he ascended back to heaven. Okay, and look what he did. It says in verse number 7, Ephesians 4, 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Everyone has a gift, and some have multiple gifts. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, ascension, he led captivity captive, paradise, and gave what? Gifts unto men. Now, folks, here it is absolutely clear, verse 11, that he gave gifts gifts, evangelists, pastors, teachers, missionaries, preachers. He gave those gifts and he wants us to utilize them. How many of God's people today are not using the gift that he gave them? Or gifts, plural. He wants you to be active, busily engaged in the war that we're in against the forces of darkness. Why Pentecost? Because we need to manifest and demonstrate the gifts that God has given us. Without the Holy Spirit, you can't use your gift. God designed it that way, that he gets all the glory. Fifthly, why? I gotta move. Why Pentecost? Fifthly, because it takes the Holy Spirit to turn people around. You hear what I said? You can't change anyone's heart or mind. It takes the Spirit of God to do that. Paul, the persecutor, became Paul, the preacher. How? By the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit. King Saul, the Holy Spirit, remember King Saul in the Old Testament? The Holy Spirit came on him and turned him into another person, the Bible says. It changed him into another man. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It turns you into someone you never were before. Wow. That's 1 Samuel 10, verse 6. Let me ask a question. Are you content with just how you are today? This message is not for you if that's the case. But if you want to be all you can be for Jesus Christ and by his Holy Spirit, this message is for you. Listen to me. Here lies the problem with most Christians. They don't want to use the gifts that God has given them. They're happy with their little four walls, their little job, their wife and kids in the boat in the backyard, and they don't want to be uncomfortable or suffer for Jesus. Folks, it is time to pull out all the stops. We are out of time, and we need to use the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it will turn people around from the darkness to the light. From sin unto God. Oh, folks, we need more power, more boldness, more of the Holy Spirit. We need to receive chapter 2, our filling of the Holy Spirit. I didn't say you didn't have the Holy Spirit. If you're saved, you got him. The problem is, are you filled with him or you're filled with self? Receiving a renewing of this power today is absolutely essential, folks, for this church to succeed. We need the power of God. Sixthly, why Pentecost? Sixthly, because it takes that to give you joy in the midst of persecution, trials, and sufferings. What did I say? I said it takes the Holy Spirit's infilling to give you joy through your circumstances and sufferings. Listen, true joy can only be obtained by the Holy Spirit of God. That's it. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you'll be a miserable person. And if let me go a little further. Christian, you've got the Holy Spirit, but if you're not filled with him, you'll be miserable and make everybody around you so. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, you'll have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Why? Because he is in control. And he's giving you such a holy joy that nothing else can give you. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, you'll have no room for pessimism and negative attitudes and defeatism. You'll be positive. You'll be happy. You'll be joy-filled. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, little things cannot rob you of your joy because you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Nehemiah said it this way, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." The joy of the Lord. Where does it come from? The Spirit of Christ within. Let me ask you, beloved, are you living a joy-filled, abundant Christian life today? Don't answer out loud, because if you're not, you can hit this altar when I finish preaching. And you know what? He will fill you to joy unspeakable and full of glory by his Spirit. But I see one last thing. Why Pentecost? Not only because we need the joy of the Holy Ghost, but seventh and finally, why Pentecost? Because it fills you with God and displaces carnality. I said it fills you with God and displaces carnality and worldliness. Look in Acts chapter 2 again. Back to our book of Acts. Turn to chapter 2 once again. I want you to see one verse. Acts chapter 2. Look with me at verse number 4. In Acts chapter 2, verse 4, it says, and they were all what?
Filled
with the Holy Ghost. Don't you know the joy and the sanctification that came with the filling of the Holy Spirit? Listen to me. Let me make a statement. When the Holy Spirit fills you, He sanctifies you. Mark her down. You know what the sign of every cult and false religion and ism is? They don't preach sanctification. In fact, they encourage carnality and sexual deviance. Then when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they had joy divine. It came from God's Spirit. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. The filling of the Holy Spirit displaces carnality and brings sanctification. Fills us with God. Look at it in Acts 13. Look with me at verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch. They were first called Christians at Antioch, beloved. That's where we get the text. Listen, folks, at Antioch, that's where you want to trace your manuscripts from. That's why we believe the King James Bible, the Textus Receptus, is the Word of God. Amen? In 1611, God worked a miracle. Oh, yeah. He gave it to us exactly how he wanted it. There were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manon, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, oh, how that's become a lost doctrine. They fasted and prayed. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, that's Paul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, Barnabas and Saul, Paul, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed from Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Now, here's what I want you to see in these verses. Paul didn't commission himself. Paul and Barnabas didn't send themselves to preach the gospel. Who sent them? Look at it. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is your master. Jesus is in heaven at the right hand of God. The part of God that is in you is the Holy Spirit. He's supposed to call the shots in your life and mine. The Holy Spirit, notice, separated them from the world, the flesh, the devil, and sin, and separated them unto the preaching of the gospel. Notice that. When he does that, an accompanying divine sanctification takes place in that man's heart and mind and soul. He becomes separated unto God, separated from worldliness, separated from carnality. Remember now, he is the Holy Spirit, and being full of him is a wonderful, holy, sanctifying influence. Biblical believers are enabled by the Holy Spirit's infilling to increase in personal holiness and sanctification. Folks, let me make a statement this morning. You and I are not holy. What? That's right. We are not holy. Rather, holy is he that is in you. Amen? The Holy Spirit is your sanctification. Don't ever get big-headed about sanctification because it's not yours. It's the Holy Spirit in you. He makes you holy. His indwelling, he is the, what's he called? What's his title? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Oh, we need some old-fashioned, Spirit-filled, holy living, and only the Holy Spirit can give it to us. So why Pentecost? Well, for one, to preach the gospel with Holy Spirit power. Why Pentecost? Two, to be witnesses with Holy Spirit power. Why Pentecost? Three, to have a Holy Ghost boldness to speak the word. Four, why Pentecost? To experience an outworking of the gifts that God has given us. Why Pentecost? Five, to be turned into a different person. like Saul to Paul. Why Pentecost? 6, to experience enduring Holy Ghost joy in the face of hardship and opposition. 7, why Pentecost? To be filled with God's sanctifying influence, disposing us towards a holy life. Beloved, this is why we need Pentecost. All 7 reasons, but in closing, let me give you this. Years ago, back in the 80s, when I got saved, I was a driver for White's Laundry in Lynn, Massachusetts. Lynn, the city of sin? Yeah. And I would go, my route would take me through the heart of downtown Boston. And on my route, I was a linen driver, you know, and uniforms too. And I would drive through the downtown Boston, and my route would take me right through the North End. Now, if you know anything about the North End of Boston, they have the fruit market every Friday. The fruit market, I mean, you can get anything. You can get vegetables, corn, and delicious Macintosh apples, and bananas, and oranges, and oh, they just have everything out in the street. They have these huts, you know, these little places, and they sell them to the public. And right in the heart of the fruit market is Al Capone's Pizza. Al Capone's Pizza is the greatest pizza on planet Earth. It is so good. I could eat it every day. My wife knows. Well, I was driving through there. It was about noontime, and I was starving. I needed something to eat, and I wanted me a slice of Al Capone's, right? So I stopped we use the bread trucks for the linen. And I stopped my bread truck over by the fruit market, and I walked into Al Capone's. I said, give me a nice juicy slice of Italian sausage and onion. I get my slice of pizza. I had enough for one slice. And at the time, it was like $1.75. This is back in the 80s. You know, you'll pay 3 times that now for a single slice. But I got my slice, and I walked back to my bread truck, and it was about 95 degrees summertime. So I had my doors all opened on the bread truck, you know. And I sit down in the driver's seat, and I'm just about to take a bite of my juicy slice of pizza. And I look down, and in the gutter next to my truck, there's an old man. He's a street person, homeless, a homeless bum. And you know what that fellow was doing? He was eating the rotten fruit from the gutter. I mean, maggots? Oh, I'm sorry, ladies, but it was nasty. He's eating rotten fruit. Okay? The Lord says, give him your slice. I said, no, 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 not that. Anything but that. The Lord said, give him your slice. Now, the Lord knew what he was doing when he told me to do that. Because I said, okay, Lord, I'll obey. I'll just clean out the fridge when I get home tonight. I go over to the fella, and I said, hey, buddy, take this slice of pizza. It's from Al Capone's. I just got it. Nice and hot for you. It's good for you. He put his hand up, and he said, now, get that away from me. I said, what? He said, I like rotten fruit. That's what he said to me. I like eating rotten fruit. He said, get out of here. I said, okay. Went back in the truck, sat down, and enjoyed my slice of pizza. But the Lord spoke to me as I was eating that slice. He said, you see that man eating that rotten fruit? He said, that's how most people in the world are. They want the rotten fruit of sin, and they don't want the Holy Ghost. Oh, how that struck me. I'll never forget it as long as I live. He preferred the gutter food to the divine glorious manna that God had for him. Isn't that sad? Folks, don't make the mistake of the homeless man. Don't prefer the rottenness of the world to the precious fruits of the Holy Spirit. That good thing that shall not depart from thee. Why Pentecost? Because we need the Holy Spirit. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for Pentecost. How we thank you this morning, O God, that 2,000 years ago, on that day, the Holy Spirit came down. And ever since that day, He has been filling the hearts and minds and souls of every true believer. O Lord, how we need Pentecost today. Lord, I don't know what's happening to our churches. Lord, pastors, preachers are falling like dominoes. They're quitting the ministry, going into other professions, Lord. And how important it is in these final days of this dispensation of grace to get the gospel out. Lord, there's no time to waste. And we can't do it, Lord, without the power of the Holy Spirit of God. How we thank you, Lord Jesus, for pouring out your Spirit to empower us, to enable us, to equip us, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Bless us, O God, at this time of invitation. If there's someone in church this morning, or listening to the sound of my voice, wherever you are in the world, that you need a touch from on high. You need a fresh filling of the Holy Ghost. God has your answer. He will fill you to overflowing with Holy Ghost power. He will fill you to overflowing with Holy Ghost joy. He will fill you to overflowing with Holy Ghost boldness, that you may be a servant of Jesus Christ like you've never been before. The question is, do you want it? Do you want it? If you do, just pray to the Lord at the time of this invitation. Lord, say, Lord, I want it. Fill me to overflowing that I may be your servant in these last days. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Folks, let's grab our hymnals at this time for a time of invitation. Oh, yes, indeed. We will open up to hymn 331. We'll finish up with 331. If you need the altar, it is open. And you notice the new cushioning on the altar. We have indeed made it comfortable for you. Boy, in 331, I love the title of this old hymn of the faith. Thomas Chisholm wrote, "Great is thy faithfulness." He's faithful, church. He's faithful, and you can trust him each and every day of your Christian life to do what you need done. Ah, yes. Sing it to the Lord. Altar is open.
Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever.
Second.
Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon and stars in their courses above.
Listen now.
Join with all nature in manifold blessings.
Third. Listen.
Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth.
Amen!
Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide.
Strength!
To day and bright hope for tomorrow. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see.
Oh,
that I
indeed, church. Others are at the altar praying and making intercession to God at this time. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Father, how we thank you. Oh, Lord, for speaking to hearts today. And Lord God, I pray that a great multitude of thy servants, those who know Jesus Christ, those who already are saved, would be spirit-filled to the brim, even to overflowing as a result of today's message. Lord, that you would so equip and so endue with power from on high every one of us who need it, Lord, to your glory, to your praise, to your exaltation, let it be done. We thank you for the message, and we thank you for Pentecost. In Jesus' holy name we pray. The people said, amen, amen. 6 o'clock tonight, church, if you're able.